Where'd you go? Where'd you go?
I had to get my headphones.
Oh, wait, you had to get that crane to back them in to put them on your head? Where about you? Hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
So we're about to start the show. We're 30 seconds. You've done this every day for 30-something years.
That's probably my bad. I didn't give you enough of a heads up.
Well, no, that's not why I had a problem today.
Why'd you have a problem?
Because you told me, don't leave these headphones out. Somebody's going to steal them.
Which they will.
So you told me to start putting them in a drawer by your desk.
Well, by the way to tell everyone where we hide our headphones.
Oh, who cares, man?
Guys who steal headphones. These things have legs, man.
So I forgot they were in the drawer.
By the way.
So I panicked last second. I had to run over there.
You want to know how bad people steal headphones?
What?
These belong to WROC, which is down the hallway. I stole them.
Oh, my God. They're still in business?
What's that?
They're still in business.
I stole these headphones and no one's stealing them from me, you sons of bitches.
All right.
It is another chilly one outside. A little bit of snow as well, depending on where you are.
But it's fluffy.
Yeah, it is. But like, I don't know what's going on in Henrietta. It feels like 10, 20 degrees right now, high of 26. I just can't catch a morning where there's not snow.
Oh.
In Henrietta. And like, snow enough to like alter my commute.
Oh, is that bad?
Yeah. South of the Thruway, man, I'm telling you.
Different world.
But you got like inches of snow?
Yeah, I mean, it's fluffy stuff, but it, like when you drive over it, it makes the roads slick.
Oh, yeah.
Slick roads. Mm-hmm. Watch out, baby. So be careful if you're getting up depending on where you are this morning. How'd you like to save some money?
I'd love to.
Looks like it based on the outfit you're wearing today. you know, the last couple of years, there's been a shakeout in retail businesses. Ones that just simply couldn't cut it.
Yeah, they're tanking.
Yeah, couldn't hold on anymore.
I mean, institutions.
Shut their doors. We've talked about Sears.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, you got that stuff. Bed Bath & Beyond was a juggernaut for a while.
Mm.
That's gone. And the most popular discount store in America.
America.
Announced like 2 weeks ago that they were going out of business.
Who's that?
Big Lots.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen the stories.
Oh, I've been.
Okay, yeah. So 963 locations nationwide.
God damn.
Are closing after they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And as part of the closing, all Big Lots stores are having blowout discount sales. They got to get rid of all of their merchandise.
It'd be super markdown.
Okay, so that's just it. I live in Henrietta. So when I go down Jefferson Road, they're hiring those guys to hold the signs out front.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I believe
right now. Great time of year to be doing that.
I know.
Bro, I was the Statue of Liberty for Liberty Tech Service.
But in the middle of winter?
Yeah, that's when tax season is.
Oh, true.
Getting batteries and golf balls thrown at me.
At Lady Liberty.
So the guys holding the signs, I believe the sign said something like 30% off right now.
Yeah.
And as time goes on and they get closer to the closing, the discount goes up. People love to save money, Tommy.
Oh, sure.
But Big Lots was already a place where you saved money.
Because it was already inventory that they got from other places.
Some of it was that. Some of it is like actual Big Lots merchandise. Mm. But I guess what I'm getting at is...
Yeah.
Part of the reason Big Lots didn't survive was questions about the quality of their products.
It's funny you bring that up.
Why is that?
Because my old father-in-law, Tony, Big Tony, he was a Big Lots, you know, Ollie's, all that stuff.
Ollie's Bargain Outlet?
He would hit all those joints, right? But he always knew the stuff wasn't top quality, so he'd always buy the things to fix it because he knew it was going to break. So when he would go in there, he'd buy a rake. But he knew the rake was going to break at a certain point, so he'd also buy the tape and the screws to fix it when it crap out. So you're really not saving money. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, like, any store that goes out of business, like, when Toys R Us went out of business, it was a madhouse in there. Like,
oh, yeah.
People were grabbing
everything. But that was top-quality name brand stuff.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, what is a liquidation sale at a discount retailer who's closing partly because there were questions about the quality of their merchandise look like? Like, how cheap does it have to get before people are finally like, I'm in?
Hmm.
Like a casino.
I don't know. Because, you know, when Bed Bath & Beyond was going out of business and they were wrapping things up, and I think I went to the one in Henrietta.
Mm-hmm.
I went there like a week before it was supposed to close thinking everything would be super, super cheap. And it wasn't.
Oh.
It really wasn't all that different. Like, the prices really weren't all that different than they would have been when it was open.
Really?
Like, it was maybe some things were on super discount, but it was, like, all the things you didn't need. And then, like, if you wanted something, like, if you were looking to get, like, something nicer at a discount, it really wasn't cheap.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It was really strange.
Yeah, because they're trying to get rid of it.
I know. And I, again, like, I waited until, like, the last few days to go check it out, thinking they're just trying to get rid of it at this point.
Okay.
And I mean, it was very heavily picked over, but it wasn't as cheap as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a theory out there.
Theory out.
So for those who don't know, when massive companies like this go out of business, there will be a separate company you've never heard of that will swoop in and bid on all of the stuff that they own.
Yeah.
So, like, when you go in, there's a reason why, like, on the clearance sales, they say we can't accept coupons anymore. It's because Toys R Us or Bed Bath & Beyond no longer own the merchandise. The company, one company spent, like, X amount of dollars, and they're going to sell it at a discount. I don't know if that's what's happening with Big Lots.
Okay.
But, like, with the Bed Bath & Beyond thing, is it possible that because stores like Marshalls and TJ Maxx and Ross's are so popular, that that company
maybe
doesn't have to discount the expensive stuff?
Just they goes can there.
Sell it as a bulk to that place.
Possible.
Right? Because you're right. Like, back in the day, one of the greatest memories of my life.
Wait, hear this sad story.
So there was, God, what was it, Caldor's?
That sounds familiar.
Okay, so I know Caldor's existed. So I think it was Caldor's. It was in a plaza off of Buffalo Road in Gates.
What'd they sell?
It was like a department store.
Oh, all right.
But they had a Nathan's hot dog stand on the inside. It was really cool. My dad would take me there all the time.
But your mom was there all the time, huh?
Yeah, because she also liked deals.
No, she likes hot dogs.
Not on hot dogs.
I know she likes the tube steak.
It was you want a
Long Island tube steak.
You want a blast of the past. Yeah. The Caldor's was next door to the Holiday Health across the street from the Patriots Bingo Hall.
Oh, yeah. I remember the Patriots Bingo Hall.
That's the Gates I grew up in.
Yeah.
Try that in a small town.
So what happened?
So Caldor goes out of business.
Yeah.
Right? And my dad.
Oh, a king discount, man.
We must have gone to that Caldor's every day.
Just why? To see
load up.
Yeah, but like it wasn't like they were getting new. Were they getting new stuff?
No. My dad would play this game because he understood that the closer they got to the closing of the store, the higher the discount would get.
Yeah, the prices start dropping.
You got it. So he'd go in and he would like look for what he would want. And
eye on it.
Yes, he would go in and always buy something.
Mm.
But he would like try and figure out, and there's no system he had for this. He would try and figure out how much of it was left and how long he could wait at what discount where he should strike.
Yeah.
He should strike. And I remember we went on like the last day they were open and everything was like 90% off. And it was like the first time in my life ever, I remember as a child, that I could like pick out whatever I wanted and no one was going to argue with me. And I will never.
Heaven's Gate is discounted.
I got a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It had the Tasmanian devil on the front of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was green. He was wearing a leprechaun's hat and it said, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." And I had that shirt for like 8 years. I love that. I was so excited. Like, this is mine. I get to pick this and nobody's going to tell me no. And it probably costs like 97 cents.
Oh, yeah.
But that is my Tasmanian devil, "Kiss me, I'm Irish" shirt. But like, it was. I had so much fun as a kid because it became like a game.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to walk. My dad bought this digital camera that was like $500 for like $40. Yeah. He bragged about it for years. Years. Like, I'm getting excited. I want to go to Big Lots. I don't even need anything.
Go check it out.
I don't really.
But you always find something you want in any of those joints.
Well, that's how they get you.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny how they get you. They're going out of business. They're not trying to get you. But you're right. Something gets so inexpensive. And you figure out a way in your head that you can use it, you're walking out the door with something.
And sometimes you'll buy, and Big Lots is one of those places, you'll buy it not even figuring out how you're going to get it in your car yet. Because sometimes you'll buy something that's so goddamn big, and then you get outside and go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Or like bulky.
This don't fit.
Yeah.
No, you're totally right. And I don't know why Big Lots is that store, because I've done exactly
they
that.
They got big stuff.
Well,
that's why they Big Lots.
252.
That ladder ain't going to fit.
252 WCMF. While we were on break, Big Lots announced that they are closing all of their locations, 963 in total nationwide. And the Big Lots in the greater Rochester area are now on super discount sale. They got the guys with the signs out front, like 20, 30% off everything in there. And we're talking about part of Big Lots' problem, the question of quality. Mm. How deep does that discount have to be before you strike the old Lance Duffy method?
Oh, yeah.
How do we feel about Big Lots' furniture? Because they had a whole furniture section.
Great
man,
for
if you're
apartment
starting
living.
Out,
yeah.
If you're starting out, that's king.
Oh, you're too good for Big Lots furniture?
Now?
That's what I'm asking.
Well,
I'd have to check with my wife. No, I'm not my age.
Why?
I should be able to have some furniture, man.
This is furniture.
To his point, like I think like once you're settled into a house, like you want something a little more permanent. Like you want something that's going to last you a while and that you're not going to have to keep changing over.
Oh, so
like,
you're smug too?
Well, I mean, I wasn't for a long time. Like, it was furniture that we'd buy for apartments because, you know.
It's junk.
And if you're moving in and out and it gets damaged or ruined, you don't feel all that sorry about it.
If you're still in your partying days and you're just hanging out, you're not going to buy nice stuff.
I never understood buying nice couches.
You never had a nice
ever?
Couch.
Well, it's going to get, like, okay.
Well, your family was rough on furniture.
Yeah, there were six people in the house.
No, but that's not, there are people that have six people in the house that treat their things nice. Well, y'all are rough.
Oh, I'm sorry. When did Mike Mulay walk in the door? You know, I appreciated things when I was a young boy.
Everything in your house was scratched and chipped. That was your mouth.
All my friends who have boys, I don't know why they buy new furniture. Like, boys, like, they're bad enough when they're younger. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when they're teenagers. Yeah. But I, if I were them, I would not buy new furniture until they have graduated high school.
Like, I got one that plays hockey. She's got a hockey stick in the house all the time. I got another one that does ballroom dance where she's just jumping around. She's got her tennis racket now hitting stuff. Like, my wife wanted to go buy a new couch. And I'm like, I'm telling you, wait 6 years. Because it's going to get destroyed. There is no point.
So when I was a kid, as far as I can remember, in every house my parents owned, till they got small into condos, there was always two rooms in the house you did not go into unless you were you had permission.
Okay.
That was, we had a formal living room and a formal dining room. And you were not allowed in either of them. And it was like the old plastic on the furniture. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't go in there with shoes, anything to drink. Those were rooms for the holidays. And my mother would, like, it was like sealed off like a museum, like Lincoln died in there. And every Italian knows what I'm talking about. There was that living room. You weren't allowed to go in. It had a bowl of the fake grapes. Had a pitcher of Venice.
Which I don't get. You Italians got plenty of grape access. Just keep rotating the grapes. They're not expensive.
It always had a pitcher of the old country, and you were not allowed. That's why the Garagio became so popular.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good theory.
Because you could actually, there was a room in there you could actually relax in.
But it's funny, like, to you know, you're right. Everything you're describing, I
so
remember.
The junk furniture is around the rest of the house.
Okay. But, like, it's funny to think of where we've come from what you're describing to now. Because, like, people are just begging to be able to buy a house.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in your parents' generation, you not only were able to afford that house, you had a living room in it and a place where you ate dinner, a regular dining room. Mm-hmm. And then you had enough room to have two rooms that you did not use.
And they used to call it the formal dining room. And that was for the holidays or when they had guests over.
It makes you sound like a Vanderbilt.
Yes, but we weren't.
Well, you kind of were.
Well, low.
But here's the thing.
Vanderbilt.
I know you're a rich-ass spoiled bitch, but I remember even in Gates growing up, like those
you dining
know,
rooms.
Post-war like, homes. Yeah, they had those extra rooms.
Right.
But we don't go in here. Mm-hmm. Well, then why buy the house?
For company.
You don't need that much space.
Like company towels, that's for company.
Did you have the room you weren't allowed to go in as a kid?
No, but I had friends that did. Like, I remember being a little kid and discovering that for the first time. Like, wait, you have a room you're not allowed in? Like, you couldn't, like, the carpet would be white. Like, you couldn't even step. If they had just vacuumed.
You could see the lines.
You could see the lines, and they knew if you stepped foot in that room. Yeah. I remember as a kid thinking, like, wow, this is a whole different life I didn't know about.
No, those lines in the carpet, that's why from 1965 to 1995, the Amherst only hired Italian Zamboni drivers.
Yeah, they knew their lines.
But no, Zamboni is an Italian. I mean, that's he invented it. Yeah. It's all because of the carpet. we got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was also the precious moments room for most people. Like, that was where, like, the mother had the displays of all the figurines in, like, a case of some sort.
I would love to know the amount of money as Americans housewives spent on precious moments retail versus what they sell for now. Like, what? The bottom dropped out of the precious moments game, right?
First of all, the things are ugly. They're not even.
They're kind of cute.
They're cherub. They're little cherub.
I know, but they look like something like you put in a little kid's room. That's a grown-ass woman.
You know, to his point, it is strange that every woman in America
is very childlike.
Yeah, from 1987 to, like, 1998 got swept up in precious moments.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, that would be, like, a TLC documentary now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what you collect. But, like,
they can't be worth
anything.
There was a trillion of them out there, and that's just Gates.
Could be checking it out. That was, like, bro, every gate.
Yeah, every place you went to, the people had them.
My mother collected them. My neighbors collected them. Everybody
but they had to
them.
Be dirt cheap because everybody, from low end to high end, women collected them.
Well, I don't know, though, because my mother would get them as, like, gifts for my dad. So maybe they were more expensive than, like, everyday stuff.
Oh, all right.
I don't know.
What was a high end gift, like, your father would give your mother, though?
Precious moments. I'm not even
kidding. That was the top shelf.
I'm trying to think. I don't have memories of that.
So he never really stepped up.
I will get back to you.
Like, if he couldn't score it at 7-Eleven or an airport gift shop, she wasn't getting it.
Scoring it at 7-Eleven is why he ended up leaving the family. Kimmy, what do you got over there?
Okay, so he did get something he brought home. It gave to your mother.
So it looks like there are There are some that are worth some money, but they have to be from the original 21 collection made in 1978.
78?
Yeah.
And those can be worth like thousands of dollars.
God damn.
Everything
but
else
yeah,
is...
it seems like maybe you get like a couple hundred for like
Grandma's
a rare
rich.
One of some sort. But
okay.
The just... earlier they were made, the more they're worth.
Sorry, Mom. Look, I guess this is not the most surprising news in the world.
What happened?
The reputation that we have in this state amongst other people in America is not fantastic when it comes to our warmth.
Well, we're a little gruff.
Yeah. But the reason we are bringing this up is there is an important distinction to be made.
Okay.
There is a difference between friendly and kind.
All right.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we have a poll in front of us.
What do they say?
It ranks the most friendly to least friendly states in America.
Ah.
And the way they broke down this poll is they asked people who had traveled, had been to these states, to describe how friendly the folks in these states were. All right? I think we can also assume when you hear the results that most of this comes from the reputation of a certain part of this population here.
All right.
But the poll has determined that the state of New York is the least friendly state in America. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
On a list of 1 to 50, New York State was ranked the least friendly.
That makes sense.
Okay, why does that make sense?
Well, just take New York City in general.
Okay.
I think that right there would drop you right to the bottom.
So you're saying that New York City dragged us down?
Well, it didn't help. I mean, the pace of the city, how you're treated.
The pace of the city. What are you writing, a Broadway musical? Pace of the city, the lights never go down. Watch out. Here comes a cab. You're dressed like a man who writes a musical. You look like Steven Soderheim.
Thank you.
Is that a guy who writes musicals?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go with it.
I thought he plays for the Rangers.
But you were saying, I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, I think, you know, the city itself, New York, New Yorkers have that reputation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we crap on each other. Like, we're not even nice to each other. Like, think about if you went to, say you went to Buffalo, and you told somebody you're from Rochester. Like, oh, that sucks. What a dump. Yeah. Like, we crap on our own cities and our own, like, our own issues.
Okay, so nobody in this room disagrees with this study.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I'm with you guys. Fine. We're not the friendliest people here in New York. But I do think it's important that we draw a very thick line here.
Okay.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because New Yorkers may not be friendly. But there is a huge difference between friendly and kind.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, you step up when you're kind.
That's just it. We in New York are not friendly, but we are kind people. We're not going to go out of our way to say hi to you.
No.
We're not going to be all smiley and warm when we meet you for the first time. Hell, I don't even trust you. I just met you. Why would I trust you?
Mm-hmm.
But if someone needs a hand, we're going to give it to them.
But I think that's most people in general.
I
think that's human nature. Listen, you and I have known guys that hate certain types of people. But if they saw that person, they would go help them.
Okay, you're right. But those people are from New York.
Yes, but I just think that's human nature.
Okay. Here's why I think you're wrong.
All right.
And I would have thought you were with me 100% based on the background we both have. Like, we traveled for a living.
Yes.
We've been in states across the U.S. Anybody that has traveled, you truck drivers, salespeople, whatever it is. The truth of this shows up on the top of the list.
Because
they ranked the states that were the friendliest in America.
Yeah.
Number one, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I actually can't disagree with that. Those people are so kind and so nice, right? They are salt of the earth people. But number two,
the accent makes it just that much more charming.
You know how many VFWs I've just been invited into for beers walking down the street? But no, number two and number three on the list, Tennessee and South Carolina. And
I, you know, it's so funny because I was just in South Carolina seeing my brother, and it was so goddamn friendly. I forgot how fake friendly Southerners are.
And you nailed it.
Yes.
Because when you go to Tennessee or South Carolina or Alabama or Arkansas or wherever, they are super friendly when you meet them.
Yes.
They want to chat you up. They're going to ask you all kinds
of
questions. Yeah, they're going to give you all kinds of tips about love. What you want to do, you want to go down around the corner, you're going to see a statue there. That statue been there since 1845. Yeah. Don't ask me any more questions.
Yeah.
Southern hospitality.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
And the second you walk away from them, they're crushing you.
Mm-hmm.
They hate you.
Yep.
Folks from down south do not like outsiders.
Northerners, especially.
Amen, brother. And they will never tell you to your face because it's not the polite thing to do.
Right, but they want your money.
Exactly. And if you needed something from them after they were all being all friendly, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
It is not happening. Mm-hmm. My car broke down when I was in Alabama.
Yeah.
And I stood there while everybody drove past me for an hour and a half. Hand to God. Hand to God.
Those New York plates, buddy.
Hundreds of cars driving past. Not a single person even stopped to ask if I was okay.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't happen here.
Yeah, true.
I mean, hell, man. You know, like this morning, there's a little bit of snow. Somebody goes into a ditch. It's going to be a matter of 5 minutes before somebody pulls over and asks, can I help get you out of that ditch?
Yeah, in the South, they're already putting up one of those memorials hoping you're dead.
And here's the thing. I would much rather have someone be cold to me when we first met, but be willing to help in a situation than the opposite way.
Well, yeah, because then you know where you stand.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I don't understand why not being friendly is a bad thing.
Mm. But there are, I would say, like, the farther west I got, the friendlier people were. Like, when I got out.
Do you mean friendly or kind?
Friendly, kind.
Okay.
Just like, you know, they just seem like really nice people. Like, when you got into, like, Iowa and Nebraska and the Dakotas and places like that, they just seem really nice. They're almost like, hey, man, I can't believe you came here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, does it kind of go hand in hand with places a lot of people don't normally go to visit?
Yes.
So it's like one of those things where when people do come to visit, they want to tell you how great where they live is, and they want to share that with you. So it would overall make them a little bit more kind and friendly. Like, welcome. Come see how great South Dakota is.
Okay, all right, maybe.
I mean, they're kind of isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. Well, no, because there's isolated places like in the South they better.
And it's not like they're overwhelmed with,
you
know, people coming through. So, you know, it's kind of a unique situation.
Okay, I get what you're saying. 252 WCMF, and we're looking at this poll. It ranked New York as the least friendly state in America, and everybody in the room agrees. But there's a difference between friendly and kind, because when you look at the friendliest states in America, one was Minnesota. They actually nailed that. Very kind people. Tennessee and South Carolina, very friendly.
Fake.
Thank you.
You're a bunch of phonies.
Although Matthew disagrees. He writes us on Instagram.
He's a phony.
He says, you are 100% wrong, especially about Tennessee, the volunteer state.
What's he talking
about? I don't know. I just read you.
You know why?
What
is
that?
Old lady's from Tennessee.
Is that what it is?
Gotta be.
My old lady's from Tennessee is my favorite Ribs Arkansas.
My old lady's from Tennessee. She'll cut you up, son, so just get the hell out of here.
Matthew follows it up, actually, now that you're talking, and his old lady's cutting you up. He says, my mom has been in Tennessee for 10 years. Everyone there has been so kind and nice every time we visited. Till you leave, Matthew.
Yes. And they don't like transfers. They don't like transplants. They call them carpetbaggers. They hate it.
Yeah, they use all slang from the 1700s.
Yes.
And I mean, look, if there's one person that would know better than anybody on the planet, it would be the guy that sits across from us. Because not only did you travel doing comedy, when you were a kid, your family moved from Jersey to Florida.
So when I moved to Florida, Florida wasn't what it was today. It was all people that were born and raised in Florida.
Like, we were Southerners.
Right. So like when you first met these people, like it was like a completely different world. I was 9, born and raised in New Jersey. I had a thick New Jersey accent. I said, dog. And I just talked like that.
War.
And they were like, it was just a weird vibe when you went down there.
What do you mean to you, Tommy?
I didn't know there was other religions except being Catholic.
Mm.
Like when they said like they go to church, and I go, I just said everybody went to Catholic church. I didn't know there was like born again Christians, and they would try to convert you into like their religion when you went over there, like their parents and stuff.
Sure.
They would ask you questions about your religion.
Ooh.
And about your parents and what your dad did. Like, they were just investigating you. Because we were a bunch of Sicilians. My father had 2 black cars. There were no black cars in Florida except for the funeral home.
Because it's 95 degrees outside.
Right. I told you the first time we went to a steakhouse, my old man's going to take us out to a steakhouse, a place called The Flame. So we all had to wear, I'm 9. I had to put on a suit and tie. We moved down in June. This is like mid-July. It's roasting out. We're in a black Cadillac going to this restaurant. We walk inside. Everybody's dressed like they dress now. You know, shorts, flip-flop, T-shirts. We walk in like the Sopranos. And they all looked at you like they hated you.
Look, I understand that we're all the victims of our own experience, right? And, you know, all of these stories are anecdotal. So maybe there are people when you went down south that you met that were kind to you. But I also want you to keep in mind, I don't think a vacation is a good gauge of how kind a place is.
It's the fakest thing you'll ever go on.
And you're usually besides your honeymoon. Where, it's full of people that aren't from
your
there.
Vacation.
Yeah. And here's the thing. you're paying to be there. And all of those people that work in those vacation spots and live in those vacation spots rely on your money to be there. So, of course, they're going to go out of their way to make it seem like they want you there. It's people that work or live that fully understand how rough it can get.
But even my father, like when he went back into business down there, right? It's like, and he was a sales guy. So he always, there was two kind of sales guys he wanted. He wanted a guy that was always overextended because, you know, he'd work his ass off because he had too much stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he goes, I wouldn't hire any of these lazy Southerners. And he would say that. He goes, as soon as I hear that accent, he ain't getting a job.
You're not helping our argument.
No, no. But like, it was, but he was also that guy feeding into the stereotype.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah. You're right. I get
it. And then he would get mad when these people didn't like him.
When we first heard about these, they seemed like a unique solution
okay.
to a problem in certain parts of the greater Rochester area. Kimmy, what are you working on, a locomotive over there?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
They were a need. They were also a curiosity.
Okay.
Now that they are expanding, they'll still be a curiosity, but will they be a need?
Mm.
Because if there's one place you would not need more of a selection of food, it would be these places.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy, late last year, we told you about a new option for folks on the run to get a hot meal.
Okay.
It's called Home Chow. Do you remember this?
No.
All right. So Home Chow, it's a vending machine that dispenses ready-to-eat, hot.
Oh, hot food.
Gourmet meals. Like real meals. Yes.
Gourmet style.
Like chicken parm or like dumplings and noodles. Nice.
Full-on dinners and lunches.
You got you pay.
Yep.
Out comes your dinner. Boom, you're good
and
to
it's
go.
Warm. Where are they?
So we literally talked about this.
I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was last year, man. A lot happened.
It was like 2 months.
That's like last year.
Okay. So they hit the Rochester radar
after
one was installed inside Sweet Pea Plant-Based Kitchen on Culver Road.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kimmy, putting that there made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a place you could stop in, people that work in the area for lunch and grab something quick.
You got restaurants around lunch and dinner in that neighborhood. They can get long lines, right? It's a quick meal. You get back to work. You get home. Got it. Well, apparently, it was so successful that they are now expanding.
Looking for other locations.
To the least likely of places.
So places where you already can get hot food.
Home Chow kiosks. It was announced yesterday. Will be placed inside all of the greater Rochester area malls.
Next to the food court?
With
all
that
food?
Eastview, Marketplace.
Yeah. Eastview's got three restaurants and a food court.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why would they need it there?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. 252 WCMF. Now, if you want to try these Home Chows in the coming days, they will be available in all of the Rochester malls.
You think it would work like downtown where you know, like a place like here?
The old Automats.
Right.
Yeah. But like if you had a place here where you could run out, because you've got offices, us.
Yeah.
Few other joints. There's no food around here.
So there's probably, what do you think, 3,000 people that work in our area, and you got Pizza Stop, and you got this coffee shop down here, and that's it.
Not
I agree with
walkable
you.
Walkable spots for sure.
If you found a way to put this in a place that everyone can access, yes, I agree with you 100%. I cannot wrap my mind, because you said it, it's not just the food courts, but every mall has multiple standalone restaurants, right? And there's good options in all of the malls.
Right. And I'm thinking, like, if you're a food court eater, if you're a food court family...
By the way, that sounded mean, and I take offense to that.
No, I'm jealous because I feel like my parents never sprung for the food court food.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why
it was like a specialty day.
What do you think he gets to go to Florida for 4 months and go on bicycle rides for 6 hours? He was good with his money.
No, but the food court food's the cheapest of food.
I don't know if it's...
It was always like, we'll get something at home. You know, we have that at home.
Because you never ate the food court.
Oh, no, I ate at the food court all the time.
Because they left you there.
Yeah. No, Burger King, when I was a kid, they had the two burgers, two fries, $2.
So your old man would step up?
Bro, it was $2.
Oh, $2.
But the beauty of the food court is like you'll get to walk around, browse, see what you want, smell all the smells, get the free samples.
Seven
like that's how
Chinese.
I decide what I'm going to eat for lunch. Whereas I don't know if I saw it in a vending machine, if it has that same draw. Like if I'm going to go to the vending machine before I go to the other places that are already available.
I agree with you 100%. I would like to go back to what a bitch our co-host is. Because he goes, it's international. There's seven types of Chinese food. It shows that he has not been in a mall food court in forever.
They got the Chinese food.
They got Ethiopian food. They got Eastern Europe. There are so many
different
random
global
Chinese
options
in there,
now in the food court.
They got Ethiopian.
Yeah, they got Ethiopian. They got Indian. They got Chinese. They got American. They got Greek. I mean, like, it's literally like a little mini UN in the food courts in these malls now.
Right.
It's amazing.
I haven't been. But I wonder if this would work for the people that work at the mall.
So they don't have
time to like stand in line at the food court when it's busy. They could go up to this thing and eat.
Okay.
I mean, I hear the people that could use it.
Okay, maybe. I worked in the mall when I was a kid. I stood in line at the food court.
Right.
They move you pretty quick through that Chinese food line.
Yeah, there's never like
this, long lines. Here. Okay, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Has anyone tried this Home Chow hot meal vending machine yet? And what are we missing about the plan to put these in the mall? Because as dumb as this sounds, there is another way to look at this.
Right.
Well, look, when we had the first discussion about this hot food vending machine, you know, getting a hot chicken parm out of a vending machine doesn't sound like the most appetizing thing in the world. But the fact that they are ready to compete with standalone restaurants and a food court leads me to believe that maybe these are actually really good meals.
Well, they probably elevated their game, right? I mean, like, best frozen food now is way better than it was when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, you were born in 1492. Yeah,
it was at Swanson Dinner.
Those are still pretty good, though.
I don't think so, man. I can't imagine how much side tin I've ingested over the years eating Swanson.
Side tin?
Yeah.
Not your normal amount of tin.
Side tin. Yes.
No, man. Like I always love myself a good frozen dinner.
Well, they're better now.
Okay. I haven't had a frozen dinner in like 20 years.
Me neither. But every time I go down to a frozen food aisle, that stuff looks really good now.
So, I mean, look, if you're willing to put one of these in the mall and compete against the standalone restaurants in the food court, that tells me, unless I'm way off base, that these will actually be delicious meals.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead. I'm almost afraid to try it because if it is really good, I'm going to be a regular consumer of vending machine full hot meals.
What's weird, though, is because I think it's, and I don't know if any of the other malls have this too, but I've seen in Eastview, I think it's like a cotton candy vending machine.
They have it at the hockey rink in Henrietta too.
But have it there, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But I've never seen a kid walking around with cotton candy.
Cotton candy's one
of those. So I always wonder, like, is it just there for, like, I just wonder how many people are actually going to use something like that.
Hey, cotton candy, you're at the fair, you're at the ball game. But just to stop in for cotton candy while I'm shopping, that's not a go-to sweet treat.
It's for kids, man.
But even so, you get the little production of how they do it.
Sure.
It kind of looks crazy. You're at the, but there's also things going on.
So the cotton candy vending machine that you're describing?
It's right near the cookies. Like, I'm getting on the cookies or the ice cream first.
It's not in a bag. Oh. And that's how they sell you on it. So the machine, it's in the Tim Hortons Iceplex on the campus of MCC, one that I've seen. It's got a window in it, right? It's like a box, and you watch like a tornado of cotton candy happen.
All right,
and
then a little show.
Yeah, and then it comes out, and those poor parents whose kids are eating cotton candy running around the rink.
But you can't get that stickiness off your hands.
Bro, they're kids. Their hands are already sticky. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. All right, we're talking Home Chow, the hot meal vending machine. We first heard about this 2 months ago when they showed up at the Sweet Pea, that restaurant down on Culver, right? But they have moved now. They're putting the machines in all of the malls in the Rochester area. And we're trying to figure out, could it be good enough to compete with like actual restaurants?
Okay.
Brian's on CMF. Hey, Brian, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Brian, what you got?
So we have a few of these machines at work, and I haven't tried them yet, but I've heard mixed reviews. And like the one day I was in the break room, and one of the machines, like the internal temperature was like 60 degrees. So I'm assuming all the food in that one got spoiled.
Okay.
But the other one was like keeping them frozen. And there was a couple guys in there talking about the meals, and I guess they're pretty good. Like one of them was like a barbecue beef brisket.
Ooh.
But I don't know. The idea of like vending machine hot food is just weird to me. I don't know if I could ever try it or not.
Well, so here's the thing, though, Brian, and I'm kind of with you, but I think it's because we're only used to, like Tommy said, the vending machine food of the past.
Traditional snacks.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
For example, my wife on Thursday, you know, she's a dermatologist.
Yeah.
She works at Clifton Springs Hospital.
Yeah, out there.
Out there in Clifton Springs, right? And I had to go out there for a dermatology checkup a couple weeks ago. And Brian, I was hungry, so I went over to where, like, their cafeteria area was, and I forgot they still have the vending machines that'll sell you, like, the burger that you put in the microwave.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all right.
The Big Bubba Burger.
Yeah.
And like, Brian, that's my idea. Like, in my head, when I open this meal, that's what it's going to taste like. But I think Tommy's right. It has to be better.
Yeah.
I would assume, especially if they're going to be in food courts, it's got to be a decent quality product. But right. I don't know.
Where do you work, by the way, that has these?
An optics manufacturer out in Ontario.
Always optics, man.
Got to get in on it.
Well, you know why?
What's that?
Good optics.
Mm.
Yeah. Brian, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I haven't tried it, but I've seen them.
Said mixed reviews.
Just help me out here, man. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Rich. Hey, Rich, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. So I was at ECU Mall this weekend and came across one of those machines. And the pricing is not bad. It's $12.99, and depending on the portion size, could be much more economical than the food court.
Ooh.
And the machine is located away from the food court. It's not physically in the food court. So to Tommy's point, it could be an alternative for employees who are on the opposite side of the mall to get something quick and simple without having to walk all the way over to the food court.
But where do you eat it then if you're just an the average mall customer, shopper?
If you work at like Macy's, you can just take it in the Macy's break room and eat
but
it there.
But if I'm not, if I don't work there and I want that meal, where am I taking it to eat it?
Oh, you mean like if I'm a customer?
Yeah,
I'm a shopper.
Yeah.
Well, it is funny. I mean, Rich, interesting theory. I guess you could sit on a bench, Kimmy. Yeah. I do find it funny, like, man, the food court's all the way over there, and I got a hot meal in a machine right here.
It would be weird to see somebody carrying a hot meal to the food court.
A walk-in chicken parm?
Yeah.
You could walk and eat the chicken parm, Rich.
Yeah, you could.
You very well could. And I think the novelty of it, at least in the short term, will probably keep them in business. I guess we'll all see in the long term whether or not it pans off or not.
Rich, we'll put our arms around each other's shoulders and we'll watch.
I'll eat a chicken parm at ECU Mall with you any day, Duffy.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good rest of the
chicken
day.
Chicken parm bros.
Sidebar.
Right.
Would it bother either of you to watch a man...
Parm pals.
Walk and eat chicken parm while he's
shopping. Well, it's not
mobile. Yeah, it would
food.
Just be weird.
That's just sit-down food.
You're right. I'm picturing like a full, like a dinner, like a full-on, like you have a side and stuff with it. I don't know if you do. I just want to picture in my head.
Okay.
So I think that would be difficult walking
food. It's too
food.
Much.
Okay, but no.
Because you had to cut chicken parm.
That's what I'm saying. You cut it up while before you walk, and then you walk in, you're walking parm.
Yeah, give me a sandwich.
It's a parm prance. Paul writes us on Instagram. He says, we're too good of a food city for this to work. They won't last.
No, but there are pockets of places where you can't get anything.
Yeah, the food deserts, yeah.
And again, it's quick. So if you're looking for something on the go.
And, you know, again, you know, Rich brings up the novelty of it. So I had said something earlier. Maybe people don't know what these are.
Mm.
There used to be these businesses called automats.
Yes.
And these were they were around when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You want to describe what they were?
So basically you walked into this building and it was just windows of food. And then you put your money in. You picked out the food you want. And then you opened up that door and there would be like a tuna sub or a bagel or a hot dog. And it was warm and cold, and it was quick.
And, like, you know, these...
There was like a little locker almost.
Yeah, and there was a big one in Rochester downtown here. But these existed and were very popular in major cities in America.
And big in New York City where people are jumping on subways or cabs or something like that. You could grab and go.
But that's what's so unique about that idea is New York City's the greatest, arguably, food town in the world.
But it's a walk-in city.
But you had, like, you know, little shacks. You could walk in, grab something, move. Despite that, these automats were still successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to Paul's point, I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
But maybe having great food... And people wanting, like, the convenience and draw
cost.
Of something new. Yeah, and the cost, too, can work side by side.
Right.
Who knows? Real quick, before we move on, you know where this would really crush? Parks.
Oh, yeah.
If you could take your kids to a playground, the second they get there, they're starving.
Okay.
And then if my kid's got a baseball...
Have a little picnic?
Yeah, or a baseball or a soccer game, I got to get right from work to get my kid. If I had food, oh.
All right. Every soccer field.
Yeah.
But where would you put it?
Underneath the gazebo.
Like near the bathrooms,
yeah.
You know what I mean. Like there's not like a good spot, a good setup. Yeah,
Bill Parman ass.